You're listening to audio from Cornerstone Covenant Church in Big Spring, Texas. Thank you so much for joining us online. To find more resources or to donate to this amazing ministry, please visit us at cccbigspring.org or text your amount to 84321. Hey, we're so glad that you're here. Now prepare your heart to hear a word from God.
Well, praise the Lord, everybody. God is good. And all the time, I want you to grab your Bibles and go with me to two places. Particularly, we're going to start off in Matthew, the fourth chapter. That's going to be our opening reading. I hope we're able to get to Matthew, the fourth chapter, tonight. Because we're going to actually start there. Then we're going to go to the book of James. And then we're going to come back to Matthew. Because Matthew gives us some answers. It gives us some proper biblical responses to some of the things that we're going to talk about tonight. Tonight, we're going to talk to you a little bit different. TLC came out with a song, Let's Talk About Sex, Baby. Let's talk about... So you know the song too, so don't be looking at me in that tone of voice. We're going to talk about a subject that needs to be talked about. And so what I'm going to do is lay the foundation tonight, and then we're going to go deeper in it on Sunday. Amen? Is that all right? Matthew, the fourth chapter. I'm going to just read these two verses in our opening, then we're going to pray. The Bible declares this. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterwards, he was hungry. We're getting ready to finish our fast. You thought the battle was the fast. But some of your greatest temptation, some of your greatest battles comes after the fast is over. The Bible says, afterwards, he was hungry. What do you do when you have a legitimate need, but the enemy keeps calling and bringing you illegitimate sources to fill that need? You know, sex is a good thing. Did you know that? The problem with the 21st century church, we either see sex as gross, gone, as a god, or we see it as a gift from God. Some of you came up in a family that sex was gross. Some of you came up where you're dealing with people, for them sex is gone, and because sex is gone for them, they act like you don't have any needs. And then we go to the other extreme and we make it a god, small g. And now it rules everything in our lives. I want to humbly submit to you that sex is a gift from God. And even though the scriptures that I'm going to talk about tonight does not explicitly deal with the subject of sex, we are going to talk about something. And I'm going to speak to you tonight from this subject, hungry, surviving the rut season. Hungry, surviving the rut season. Any deer hunters in here? Deer hunters? Y'all know what the rut season is, right? We're going to talk about stupid deers tonight. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ tonight, we ask that you would guide us through the word. Lord, we need to be covered. We need to be guided. We need to be empowered. And we need to know that you are with us as we go and journey through your word tonight. Somebody come looking for an answer. They didn't just come to have fellowship. They came to see what thus saith the Lord. And so, Lord, I pray that you would speak through this vessel tonight as we honor you, is our prayer. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Let all God's people say amen. Look at your neighbor and say, you can survive. You can survive. Look at your other neighbor and say, there's a survivor in you. Yeah, there is a survivor in you. Now, this is what I want to share with you tonight. We're going to go through some scriptures. And actually, I hope we have time to cover this particular book. But if not, guess what? It's in your Bible. You can go back and read. The reason I took us to Matthew first is I wanted to show you that even Jesus himself was tempted or tested. If Jesus was tested, you will be tested. Notice that the temptation came at a time of vulnerability. And it's in correlation with his first test, which deals with feeling a need, which is hunger, with an illegitimate source. which is the stones that the enemy tried to get him to turn into bread. I want to be able to get there tonight, but I believe that the heart of God also is found also in the book of James. And there's about three or four observations that I want to share with you in the book of James. I want you to turn there. James chapter 1. We're going to start there in verse number 12. This is a very familiar passage with us, but I want you to maybe look at it with through new lenses and an open heart tonight. And I believe that it will minister to you, because I believe that the enemy, when we are tested, when we're in a certain season, and when the rut season is, it's a vulnerable season. There's times that we are just vulnerable. There's times that you're not going to be on the mountaintop. There's a time that you're going to have trauma and situations that happen in your life. And guess what? It's going to make you extremely vulnerable in that particular season. That's why I open up telling you and opening you about people's view of sex. Because even though we're going to talk about desires and passions, I want you to think about also the big word, the big three-letter word, S-E-X. Oftentimes, people see sex as something that is gross. Sometimes people see it as something that is gone, something that is also a god in their lives. And if you come from those three areas or more that is in the area connected to dysfunction, then your view of sex, consider this, is not going to be healthy, and nor will it be biblical. But you need to understand that God is not grossed out by sex. Matter of fact, man would not know anything about sex had it not been for God. But what this enemy is using, he is using this one particular area of our lives to drive us further and further away from the purpose and the will of God for us. Now, remember, it doesn't drive us away from the love of God, for what shall separate us from the love of God? Absolutely nothing. God's going to love you, but there are some things that will drive you away from the purpose that God has for your life. Let's get ready. Let's go to James chapter 1, verse 12. I told you in opening week, I told you that that there are some things that opens the door to the demonic. Willful sin, occult. We talked about generational curses. So willful disobedience is one of those areas. And so let's start here in verse number 12, and it'll bring up our first observation or our first point. So I hope you take notes tonight. This is the first one, and I think it's amazing how God opens up in 12 to really encourage us like he did, almost with the same verbiage or the same rhythm or the same tone that he does in the book of Revelations. You know, he started out when he opened five out of the seven letters in the book of Revelation. He opens up by first commending them. He commends them. And here God opens up with something really neat as it relates to, amen, the purpose and the plan he has for us. But then in the book of Revelation, he goes from commending to condemning it. Not condemning them, but condemning the thing that had attached itself to them. And then he carries on with some other rhythms. And we'll cover that another time. But this is what I want you to see, is that he opens up telling you about something encouraging. Notice what he says. Verse number 12, he says, "Blessed is the man who endures temptation. For when he is approved, he will receive a crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him." Here's the first observation or first point, and that is your endurance will be rewarded. He says, blessed is the man that endures temptation. Blessed is the man that endures or stands up under the pressure, the pain, and the fatigue of the test. Because let's be honest, when you're really tempted, does it not come with a certain level of pain? Oh, it doesn't if you give in. But if you're telling yourself no, how many of you have been going through that with your fasting? I mean, food that you don't even like, when the commercial come on, you're like, man, come on. I don't even like McDonald's like that. But they got that Mac, they got that Big Mac on point. You know what I'm saying? You're like, I don't even like that. Amen. There's places that I don't even like. But you, can I give y'all a little secret? What I do, I think I told y'all this last year. I was talking to Michaela about this this year as we were going through the fast. And I said, when the commercials and stuff like that come up, I just write it down in my phone. I do. When they come on with the little Caesar piece, I say, I got you. I just put it in my phone. And you know what I'm telling myself? It's not that you can't have it. You just can't have it. But when you are able to put it away, then the fight is not there, because you've been able to embrace it. You've been able to contend with it. You've been able to appropriately put it in its proper place. Y'all wait to hear me tonight. I'm helping somebody. Somebody, when that joker comes sliding up on you saying, hey, what your name is? First of all, if he said that, you ought to say, psst, that ain't. But I mean, if you're single and that's something, you just have to say, wait a minute, let me check you out first. I'm going to put that off on the shelf and I'll get back with that later. Can I get a witness here? So the first thing he tells us, he says, it will be rewarded. That's if, listen, those who endure the temptation, stands up under the pressure, the pain, and the fatigue. Because temptation has a way of trying to wear you down. But all temptation comes with a time limit. Temptation can't last forever. And what you ought to tell yourself when you're going through the pain is you ought to tell yourself, God's going to get some glory out of this. Because when you're going through, you're not going through by yourself. And I believe that's why some of us struggle so bad, is because we feel like we're going through whatever the struggle is alone. Look at your neighbor and say, you're not by yourself. Oh, you told the wrong neighbor. Look at your other neighbor and say, you are not alone. So he says, blessed is the man that endures the temptation, for when he is tested, when he is tried, when he, listen to this, is approved. You know what that word literally means in the Greek? It means that you are being tested and everything in you is being squeezed out. And when there's elements of strength and you maintain your faithfulness, you now get a stamp seal of approval. One thing about going through tests, not only does God get to see what's in you, you get to see what's in yourself. Have you ever looked at yourself in the mirror and said, I thought I was stronger than that? Have you ever woke up the next day and said, I never thought I would have done that? So I'm going to show you tonight how to handle or deal with the rut season. And I'm going to talk to you more about what the rut season is. But the first thing you need to know right off the bat, number one, is that your endurance will be rewarded. I don't believe that it will just be rewarded during this fast. I believe that this is a day-to-day journey with the Lord. And God says, I seen that coming in your life. And that temptation that you're under, when you told them no, nobody else seen you. When you were about to do this and you changed your mind, nobody else saw you. But God said, I seen you. You handled it. I seen what the enemy did. I seen how he threw that boomerang trying to see what you were going to do. I seen how they got on your nerves and you would have cussed them in your old flesh, but then you held your peace. He said, I seen you. I know when you got tired and felt like things weren't coming together, you were tempted to go do something that you knew you was ungodly and outside of my will. He said, I know that was a test. I know the enemy tried to take you to the fourth degree, but I was watching you. And the fact that you've endured, that endurance will bring with it a reward. Your endurance during the test will be rewarded. What am I saying? Pastor Will, what are you saying? I'm saying that you hanging in there with God is not in vain. Amen. Notice what he goes on to say. Not only does he declare that, notice verse number 13. He says, let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. For God, listen to this, cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. Let me give you my second observation, and this is something that all of us need to know, and that is, God is not the source of your temptation. I used to think that, and you've heard me teach on this before, that early on in my adolescence of not just ministry, but just in my development with the Lord, I used to tell myself that that test came from the Lord. And if I was failing, I just simply said, well, God knows me. And if he sent me that test, obviously he knew I was going to fail. Nobody in here has ever said that to themselves. Have you ever just thought to yourself, God sent me that test. God sent me that test. And God knows everything about me. Matter of fact, they say he knows the hairs on my head. And if he knows the hairs on my head, he know I ain't strong enough to handle that. And if he sent that in my... Are you with me? But you need to know tonight, not only will God bless your endurance, number two, you need to recognize God did not send that temptation. That thing is dark and you need to see that. And there's a difference between being tested as Abraham was tested, which means according to his faith, versus being tested in your flesh. God is not going to send some fine woman to see, brothers, hey, let's see how strong he is today. God ain't going to send that joker 6'5", smelling good, built like you like, talk like you move. God don't send that to you. Because you know why? God will never send anything that will draw you away from your purpose. God will never send you away that will send something to you that will draw you away as it relates to him in your relationship. He's not going to do that. Matter of fact, I can submit to you that the temptation that he's talking about in the text is not only not from God, it's darkness. And God says that in him there is no darkness at all. So God is not sending it. So everybody in this room tonight needs to resolve within themselves, God didn't send it to you. He doesn't do that. Look at your name and say, God don't roll that way. Yeah, God is awesome. God is big. God is almost at times complex, but God is saying in his word, he says, I did not send that to you. And so listen, it's not enough for us to just see what's in the line. We need to read between the lines. Listen, if God is not the source of it, then you must ask yourself, who is? If God didn't send it, who did? Can I go deeper? If God didn't send them to you, then who did? If God didn't send her, then who did? If God didn't send him, then who did? If God didn't send it, then God says, I don't tempt you that way. In me, there is no darkness at all. Not even a little bit. So that's the second thing. So you're going to be rewarded if you hang on in through the endurance, under the pressure, the pain, and the fatigue. And then secondly, we need to understand that that temptation, whatever, and this is the groundwork for where we're going tonight. We just laid down the foundation of where we're going tonight. We need to understand that God did not send it. Listen at the next verse. Here it is. And this deals with the rut season. Here it is. The Bible goes on to say this. Let no one say when he is tempted, I'm tempted by God, for he cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. Verse 14 says, but each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and what? And what? So here it is. The third observation is this. Your desires is your responsibility. Your desires are your responsibility. Listen. Notice, even though we can say the enemy tries to throw the test at us to be tempted, the Bible says when you're drawn away of your own desires. Can I look at me. Some of that stuff you can't blame on the devil. I think blaming it on the devil tries to excuse us of the responsibility of dealing with ourselves. The rut season. Somebody say the rut season. The rut season is a season that hunters love. It comes toward the end of October, and it's usually the second 2 weeks of November. It's usually around 30 to 40 days that does go into heat. The rut season is when a hunter is out looking. I mean, the rut season would happen regardless, but we refer to it as the rut season is when hunters go out to hunt. They know that the buck, amen, is not functioning the normal way that it would function. I want to show you something in the text. They are not functioning the same way. Why? Because they have something else on their mind. And what I want to do is I want to draw a parallel between the behavior of the buck deer and what is shown in the text. So let's look at this. Notice in the text, the Bible says this. He says, but each one, somebody say each one, is first drawn away when he is drawn away. Somebody say drawn away. Drawn. No, come on, say drawn away. Drawn. Now, this is what I want you to catch about being drawn away. When you look at bucks, one of the things that you see in the rut season, they are drawn away from their core area, an area called the core area. The core area is when all the deer sort of stay together. But during this season, the buck, as well as the doe, tend to wander off, usually in different directions, and then meet up later. But the buck wanders off from the core area. In other words, listen, don't miss this. He's wandering away from the place of safety. He's running and leading the place from the herd. In other words, if we was to use the analogy of the human, all of a sudden now they're no longer in fellowship. Now they're drifting away from the church. More times than not, they're drifting away from their own family. Sometimes close enough to be visible, but far enough not to be connected. So all of a sudden they wander off. They're drifting off. Why? Because they're in the rut season. All of a sudden now the season has changed. This is the thing that I found that was pretty peculiar, is that not only are they drawn away from the core area, check this out, don't miss this, when the deer or the buck is in this season of the rut season, three things that he abandons. The first thing, when he is in the rut season, he don't care nothing about no food, because he's trying to feed his other appetite. The second thing is, in the rut season, the deer, the buck, does not care anything about water. The other thing, the third thing, which is probably the most peculiar, is that deers find their wisdom and their safety in what they call, in when you hunt, call coverage. In other words, the thickets. In other words, being in thick brush. When they are in the rut season, they don't care about food. They don't care about water. And guess what? They don't care about coverage. So that means, listen to me, if we use the parallels of the buck deer to us as humans, then we would see, are you still eating the word of God? For the Bible says, man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out the mouth of God. Then all of a sudden, we're not around in fellowship, so now we don't get what the water or the refreshment of that comes through fellowship. And then all of a sudden, guess what? Then we leave coverage, or we leave our covering. Sometime in our family, sometime in ministry, sometime in all different places, but we leave the coverage. Why? Because we're in that rut season. That rut season will cause you to wander away from food, wander away from water, wander away from coverage, and then it causes you to leave what I referred to earlier as the core area. They're no longer now with the pack. Why? Because they got something else on their mind. And the Bible says, then they are what? Drawn away. When they're now drawn away because they're in the rut season, check this out. Notice what happens. The Bible says once they are then drawn away, they are drawn away by their own desire. Somebody say your own desire. Come on, somebody say your own desire. Now, let me caution you and say this little, I want to say this little caveat. And that is, when you see the word desire there, some of your Bible says lust. Some of your Bibles may say lust. And that would not be a proper translation of that particular word. And let me tell you why. Because when you look at the word there as desire, it literally means to long for. It means to have a passion. It means to have a craving. When you insert the word lust there, it's not that the word cannot mean lust. But if it means lust, it's the same Greek word that is used in Luke 22 and 15 when Jesus says to his disciples, I fervently desire to have supper with you one last time. And certainly we know Jesus wasn't saying, I lust to have dinner with you one last time. It literally means a passion. It means a desire. It's a desire that is coming. And this is why I use that word, because the word desire here really is nebulous. It's nebulous. In other words, in this, it has not made any exchange. So that means it's not positive or negative. All it is passion. And long as passion is not used, because passion can be used for something positive, passion can be used for something negative. Just like leadership. Leadership is nebulous, right? It just depends on whose hand it is. Leadership is the process of influencing others to accomplish a mission by providing purpose, motivation, and direction. It depends on if you're Adolf Hitler or Martin Luther King. It depends on whose hands that leadership is in. It's the same way with the word desire here. So he says, listen to this. He says he is drawn away of his own desire. This is what you need to see about the word desire. The word desire here is subjective, not objective. Now, let me share that with you, because sometimes when we hear the word subjective and objective, our mind automatically goes to one area. So let me share with you what I mean by that. When you look at this particular word, there's times that temptation is, listen, it is going to be objective, and it's going to come from the outside of you. In other words, there's going to be times that temptation comes from the outside. That's not what this is talking about. This is talking about a temptation that you can't blame on other people. This is a temptation that you got to grab and harness yourself, because this is not coming from the outside in. This is coming from the inside out. And so he says, you got to be mindful of this. He says, so this happens when you're drawn away, listen, of your own. Look, that's why I told you that point number three was that your desires is your responsibilities. He says, listen to this. He says, when he's drawn away by his own desires and then enticed, then, somebody say then. See, if you don't take your responsibility seriously, listen to what happens. He says, when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin should be enough. Did you know that? You know why? Sin separates us from God. It does. I didn't say it separates God from you. It separates you from God. Sin has a consequence. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. We haven't got there yet, but the first thing you need to know is that when you choose to willfully walk in disobedience or choose to walk in willful sin, what you're doing is you're making a choice between that over God. Somebody needs to tell you that, because we live in a time now that people believe that you can do anything and God will be pleased with it. Sin has to have a consequence, and the problem is that you put sin in a different category than God does. So if I told you, hey, you messed up, you cheated, you messed up, God will restore you, he will, but there's a penalty on that sin. Some of you say, well, I don't know if it's that deep. Well, if I told you that the person was a pedophile, now you want to throw him in hell. You see what I'm saying? That person was still drawn away of their own lust. Yes, it was wrong. Yes, it causes damage. Yes, it inflicts pain. But we need to understand that the penalty of sin is still death. But the first thing before death is sin. And we need to not minimize it just because it's a three-letter word. So listen to this, what he says. Your desires are your responsibility. There's no doubt about that. But when we don't take it seriously, he says, then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is fully grown, guess what happens? He says it brings forth death. It brings forth death. It impacts our lives. Pastor Corey, y'all can come on. Our time is almost up. This is what I want you to check out. I got one more point. He says, if you don't nip it in the bud in its infant stage, and we're going to pray at the end of this on how you can do that, because there may be somebody here that you're saying, I came on the right night, and that's why the enemy didn't want me to come. I came on the right now, because why? What God is doing is not condemning you. He's confronting you with his truth. And what the word will do, the word will shine a light in that hidden dark place, because the enemy festers in that place of infection. He does. And when that happens, notice the last statement that he makes in the 16th verse. He says, do not be deceived. That's my fourth point. Don't be deceived. In other words, don't walk in ignorance. What we have to do is push away creating the God of our own imagination. There's times that you can get into a dark place and surround yourself with people that pat you on the back as you continue in your folly. They'll pat you on the back, and them the same people that when you blow it, they'll step right over you and keep on going. What you have to do is make up your mind that you're going to choose God. That's why we must all work out our own soul salvation with fear and trembling. God don't give corporate rates. It's an individual thing. Even though we can corporately do some things together, it's individual. So understand, it is God's will that we get this together. What was Matthew about? As they prepare to come in and minister to us one more time, I want you to go back to Matthew. I want you to go back to Matthew, the fourth chapter. They're going to give us 3 minutes. Listen to this. The Bible says, then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterward, he was hungry. When he was hungry, when he was in a different season, He was vulnerable. Notice this. You say, wait a minute, how can Jesus be vulnerable? First of all, Jesus in his humanity was a man. That's why we call him the Theanthropos, God-man. Matter of fact, we know his humanness because the Bible says Jesus learned obedience through the things that he suffered. God didn't have to learn anything. But Jesus as a man is our kinsman redeemer that he might relate to us. How does he relate to us? By being human in the flesh. By being God, rather, in the flesh. Notice what it says. After he hungered, now when the tempter came to him, he said, if you are the Son of God, command these stones to become bread. Notice that's his first temptation. After what? He hungered. And this, he says, but he answered and said, it is written, man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out the mouth of God. Then all of a sudden, guess what? That was temptation number one. Secondly, then the devil took him up into the holy city, set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Listen to what Jesus says. And Jesus said to him, it is written again, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. It wasn't over. The next temptation. Again, the devil took him up on an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory. And he said to him, all these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me. And Jesus said to him, away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. So what is the pattern of our response when we're tempted? We respond with the word. Notice the three areas. He was tempted in his flesh. He was tempted with the pride of life. He was tempted with the eyes. That's the core. That's the source, right? The lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life. That's where all sin flows through those three channels in the earth realm. And Jesus was tempted in all three of those areas. That's why the Bible says that Jesus was tempted in all points. Listen, not in all areas, in all points. What are the points? There's three. Lust of the eye, lust of the flesh, pride of life. So when you know this, the reason I gave you this biblical model, so when temptation comes your way, you know that the way you want to respond is in the word. But just because you gave the word doesn't mean it's going to stop. He was tempted once, he was tempted twice, he was tempted the third time. And then the Bible says, then the devil, verse 11, and the devil left him, and behold, the angels came and ministered to him. Theologians to this day don't know why it was necessary for angels to come and minister to Jesus. The implication is temptation takes a lot out of you, especially when you're responding properly. And I just want to encourage you to respond properly. The rut season that you're in can't last forever. And don't allow the enemy to take something which is a legitimate need and cause you to use it in an illegitimate way. It's not a bad thing. It's not a gross thing. It's a thing that God has given you as a gift. It just has to be used in the proper context. We'll go deeper into this subject on Sunday. But what I wanted to do is because there's somebody here tonight that need a breakthrough. They need healing. Every head's bowed. Let's prepare ourselves to pray.
Hey, we hope you enjoyed the podcast this week. And if you did, we invite you to take a moment to subscribe and follow our page. That way the word can be ready and waiting for you each and every week. Thanks again for joining us online, and we'll see you next time.